Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Oh my god, we're back again. No, it's not the Backstreet Boys, it's the SDL Boys. You're back listening to Saturday Draft Live. We've had a wee hiatus over the Christmas break. We fancied eating a lot of food and drinking a lot of drink. But we are back in the new year for 2021, and by god, are we ready to talk about the draft. Before we get on to what we're going to do this episode, find us on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a listen, give us a follow, a subscription, leave us a nice wee review. Say that I have such a delicate voice, because I know you all think that. Find us on Twitter, Suplex Retweet. Find us on Facebook, Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. Join the community page, get talking about wrestling, because we all love wrestling. Check us on Instagram as well, Suplex Retweet. We've got the website, suplexretweet.com. I am so excited to talk about the draft. And here are my other Backstreet Boys, David Hockney, Scott McLeod, Takeaboo. Welcome back, everyone.
It's good to be back, Jack. And happy 2021 to all our listeners.
You know, people say, tell me why you had to go away. And I'll tell you why, because we needed a break. Then fuck me if I'm recording on bloody Boxing Day. So we had to take a break, and I didn't think the last couple of weeks would be as eventful as they ended up being.
We've seemed to miss quite a few things when we're going away. But obviously, Dave is kind as ever. I was posting our midweek updates. Actually, came week updates on the community page. So he broke down the scores all there. So Dave, golf clap for you, my friend. Golf clap.
Thank you. I mean, we're all about, you know, keeping our listeners informed in both in an impartial sense and in as detailed as possible with all the stats, analytics and facts that you could ever want out of a show such as our one.
The most unbiased show on any podcast and network ever. That's the kind of things I've been told from our listeners. You know, we're great. What can we say? But that's by the by. Obviously, when you listen, we go through the top three of the week. But as I've said before, we weren't here the past few weeks, so we're doing the top three of the SDL break. And coming in third place with 38 points, Scott, it is Ryan Gallagher's captain, Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not surprised that that's the case.
Yeah, because like Roman didn't have a really eventful couple of weeks. He didn't really wrestle a lot, you know. He had one match. The only matches he wrestled were Universal title matches, because we... did our last episode right before TLC, so he retained at TLC, then did the cage match on the Christmas Day SmackDown, and so there's two big title defences, and there's that extra jump of points, and again proving why Roman Reigns is such a valuable pick in the draft. And then even like weeks like this week where he's just appearing, he's still racking up the points, and I don't know if you want to talk that much about it, but like having seen who his opponent is, I think it's fair to say an easy win for Ryan at the Rumble, like regards to Roman.
Fuck it, I'll say his opponent, Adam Pearce. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought? Is he going to be a draft contender for next season, Scott?
Well, you know, former NWA champion, you know, Adam Pearce. But, you know, like, I'm not against that match. I just wouldn't have it as a Rumble. But, you know, at least there's a purpose for this. You know, Roman's pushing his weight around, and Adam Pearce didn't come out and just ask for a title shot like some other people.
It's been a good few weeks for Roman. I was like, Ryan's going to be expecting quite a bit of points come that Royal Rumble time when he's got the match against Adam Pearce, and no doubt there'll be quite a lot of promo segments, so he'll get a decent amount of appearance points between now and then as well. But we see here, Dave, that Roman Reigns, 58 points overall in third place on the top 10 of the season, but our second place top three of the week is joint first on the top 10 of the season, 47 points and 75 points respectively. Drew McIntyre, obviously Gary's captain, done very well for Gary here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like TLC, you know, he fights off not just AJ Styles, but also an opportunistic cashing in Miz. But unfortunately, Miz did regain the contract further down the line. So there's still the threat looming of Money in the Bank. But at least Drew can now say he successfully defended against a cash-in, which was quite a good way to end the year. But also he had that title defense against Keith Lee on Legends Night, which has obviously helped boost his points up a bit. And that's the thing I've noticed about the top three for the last 3 weeks, is that all three of them have actually had at least two successful title defenses with the captaincy applied. And that's why they're scoring so highly. It just goes to show, you know, if you pick a champion and you put the captaincy on them, it can be very, very beneficial, even over the space of just, you know, a couple of weeks.
And Scott, we were just talking about there, obviously, we said it's Roman Reigns versus Adam Pearce at the Royal Rumble. I think many would have assumed that it was going to be Goldberg versus Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, but it is, in fact, going to be Drew McIntyre versus Goldberg. Should Gary be scared in any way that the Goldberg curse might happen to Drew, or do we think that Goldberg will actually lose?
I think Gary will be saying his prayers every night between now and the Rumble, so that he don't sacrifice Drew to Goldberg like they did to Bray Wyatt, like they did to with Kevin Owens. But I think given the fact that it's happening at the Rumble, has me thinking that it's more likely that Roman will retain. And I want to follow on Dave's point, like the top three have had title defences in the last couple of weeks, and I think it's quite interesting because not only do they have a big presence at TLC, but given that we thought, well, nothing really happened of note in these 3 weeks that we go away, and we thought, well, nobody's really watched this time, let's give them a reason to actually watch, and they've been putting on some major like title matches, even as recent as last night. We had two title matches on last night's SmackDown. I think it's paying off, because I think the one of the last episodes of SmackDown of 2020 was actually the highest rated of that year.
I did very well with it, especially the celebrations. I think everybody was wanting, also wanting that Big E win. But
I definitely wanted that Big E win.
That's done you a lot of favours, to be fair. But Dave, I'll let you break down what's happened to our top three over the holidays. Ask about 49 points. Tell us the accolades that's happened with Ask over this wee break.
Well, so last time we talked to you on STL, we were just I think we were just covering TLC. So in the space of between then and now, Asuka has won the Women's Tag Team Championships with Charlotte. She successfully defended them in a triple threat elimination on the following SmackDown. And she also has won multiple other matches in between, both on Monday Night Raw and the following SmackDowns. And in doing so, has accumulated probably the most amount of points in one time period. And that's with the captaincy applied. So, and I will say this, to anybody who didn't pick Asuka in the first round of this season's kickoff, you must feel like a right mug right now.
I imagine you picked Io Shirai instead or something. Oh, dear.
What would you be thinking, you know?
To be fair to Derek, you know, it's his first draft, you know, there's not much can be done, but I think we should just kind of, boys, have a wee look over just the top 10 of the season, how that's changed over a wee bit. I'll briefly go through it quickly. Obviously, we've got Fish and Strong, our 10th and 28 points. We have Sasha Banks, Scott, 29 points. That was your kind of standout pick, and he's now your captain, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm wondering if I should have put it on Big E, because no offence to Sasha, but Big E scoring higher than her and actually defended it more. Wasn't he might defend that belt more frequently than Sasha would defend hers. So I can't see her getting another title defence until the Rumble. But, you know, it's not really much for me to be complaining. I've got two top picks with getting me championship points. So know, she's doing well, like, as a captain.
And then a lovely sight to see tied with that there, R-Truth. I love seeing R-Truth in the top 10. I picked him in my first time I draft team when it was the very, very hot potato light thing with Drake Maverick in the 24/7 title scene. We've got our AEW World Champion Kenny Omega for Grant helping him out in Purgatory, 31 points. I've got Cody's in 32 points myself. Obviously, Scott, as you said, your captain, Big E, 36.5 points. But Dave, we were having a wee conversation.
Big E is my captain.
Oh, yeah.
I said maybe Big E should have been my captain, but I'm saying either way, they're both really well performing.
You can't complain. I mean, you could have put the captain saying Big E, but that's by the by. But Dave, we had a wee conversation before the show started about Strack and Johnny Gargano. Mm-hmm. Fourth place, 38 points, and he was picked in the fourth round, I think you said, overall pick number 43.
Yeah, that's right. I know, I mean, it's. I think it puts down to the fact that, you know, Strack has changed his captain to Johnny Gargano as well, and it's paid off immensely, because Gargano was a fourth round pick, and that's usually someone you want to help prop up your team, not one that's you want to sort of lead your team forward. But what's happened with Johnny Gargano in the last few weeks, you know, he successfully regained the NXT North American title. He defended it against Leon Ruff, and he's being heavily featured as part of this new faction, The Way. So expect him to see a lot of appearance points from Gargano and maybe a few more wins upcoming. And he's also been announced to be partnering with Austin Theory in the next Dusty Cup. So I think Strack could possibly pull back, you know, a late lead so as not to sort of finish near the bottom of the table.
It seems that the Gargano curse is over, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, touch wood. Obviously, I like Johnny Gargano. I don't want to see him fail, but he's helping. He's helping Strack, so we can't complain. But also, as we said, our top three is Roman, Asuka, and Drew at that top of the table. So it's quite interesting to see certain things are happening there. But I'll go over to our Purgatory boys now, the boys that are fighting to draft first for the next season 8 of the draft. David Campbell was on 70 points and Grant's on 102. But we've been informed by David Campbell that he has changed his captain to Bayley, as he thinks that she will be the winner of the 2021 Women's Royal Rumble match. Scott, what's your thoughts on David Campbell making this change?
Could be a brief reminder, who was his captain before?
I think it was Nia and Shayna.
I think it really should have been Bayley from the off. I can see why you would want to switch very close to the Rumble. It's a smart choice if you think she's going to win the Rumble. You know, we like to call things down there. I'm just calling things like as I see them. You know, David Campbell, the 3 weeks we've been away, he's been doing a lot of talking here. Because, like, at the moment, he's starting to close the gap, and he was having a go at us for saying that, like, we're basically accusing us of saying that he couldn't really catch up to Grant, given the fact that when we were talking about that, it was right before Kenny Omega said to have another title defence, and we said how that was going to help Grant further widen the gap. We're not saying that Bayley can't win the Royal Rumble, we're just saying that David Campbell is putting a lot on Bayley winning the Rumble, and it's going to be very difficult for him to close the gap if Bayley doesn't win the Rumble. And he's having a go at people in the Bloody Listeners League, which I don't know why. I mean, we're trying to, you know, create community engagement here and get in touch with our listeners, have them take part and be part of the, feel like part of the show, and he's having a go at people. And then but people like Alan Laurie are arguing back with him, like, don't be worrying about him, Alan. Alan, you need to be closing the gap of your own. You're buddy number third in a two-horse race here in the Listeners League, as we'll see in a minute. But,
I mean, you know, Ryan O'Grady's given it big licks as well, and he's bloody bottom of the table, so you're right there.
And it's just, you know, it's just one thing after another. We try to be professional here, but he keeps calling us bozos and stuff like that, you know. Because, you know, with him and some other people, it's like, if one of us so much as compliments the other one on our haircut, we're being accused of SEL bias here, you know, we can't fucking say anything on this show.
You know what the worst thing was when you had that live stream the other day in the community page, which you should all check out, by the way? He did a midweek update and was pretending to be me, but the most insulting thing about that was that he did it on the wrong day. Did it on the Wednesday instead of the Thursday. Shocking.
I mean, to be fair to David, he's no longer doing this whole I live in darkness thing. I am the night, I am a shit Batman, whatever it is he was doing. But you know, fair dues. If Bayley wins the Rumble and you manage to close that gap, fair enough. You came back from us. We were just seeing how at the start, Grant made a smart pick by picking people like Kenny Omega, and that was helping widen the gap. And like, we're just pointing out things as we see them. But apparently, we can't do right for doing wrong with David Campbell sometimes.
If I could just say a bit on Campbell switching the captaincy to Bayley, I think it's probably the best thing he could do at this stage, because Bayley has been heavily rumoured as a favourite to be winning the Women's Royal Rumble. And take it from somebody who actually won a draft season because of not just one Royal Rumble win, but two Rumble wins. Like, I left my captaincy change too late, unfortunately, but Drew won the Rumble as part of my team, and it scores massive points. Like, no word of a lie. So I appreciate, you know, Campbell's grit to put all his chips on Bayley on this one.
Yeah, it's Bayley's been a member of my team before, and that was last year's WrestleMania, the year before. I can't mind. I think it was last year. And it was when she won the five or the six pack challenge thing, when she defended the title, and that took me from like eighth to like fourth overall because she was my captain. So like, it is a very good choice by David Campbell. Yeah. I fully agree. I fully respect the decision he's made.
I think also he really should hope that Bayley does win, not just for the win, but like, we look at Bayley and how she usually performs. I mean, it's the first season she's not had the title, and I said there was going to be a big difference when Bayley is not the champion, like during a season. And I think looking at this season, this might be one of Bayley's probably Bayley's lowest performing season so far. But I think obviously all the difference can be made if she wins the Rumble, because it's like at least 10 or so points just from a Rumble win and then with captaincy added to it, you know. And also will depend on how top picks like on Grant's team, Leia, Kenny Omega, how they appear on Diamond, because like, I know he's putting all this on Bayley, but again, it's all about like not just hoping your team does well, but other people's teams do shite. So it's all matters. It's not just like, oh, Bayley wins the Rumble, then he starts closing the gap. It's like, you need to think about how Grant's team's going to perform in the next couple of weeks, because a good performance 1 week from Grant could then further open the gap.
Aye, it's something that it's always a danger considering who Grant has in his team as well. So he's got the New Day, just lost the tag belts. Unfortunately, it's not helped him. He's got Kenny Omega, AEW World Champion. He's got Tony Storm, who's doing well in NXT. MJF is always a stable weight in AEW. But you've got Pete Dunne as well, who seems to be the next challenger to Finn Balor. Obviously, that's probably going to happen at TakeOver coming in February, so we'll just miss out on that season. But Pete Dunne will probably feature quite a bit. So it's interesting. I think it'll be tighter than maybe what we once said to begin with. I can't call it yet.
Yeah, and also Grant, I think, has Abaddon, who lost to Hikaru Shida in a title match on Dynamite, so that's not going to really do him any favours. I think that kind of almost cancelled out some of the points he was able to get that same night at Dynamite, because the same night Kenny Omega retained, she lost. So I don't think it was much of a jump as he was hoping for, points-wise.
And now we'll move on to the main league of Season 7 of the draft, and we'll start from the bottom to the top like we always do. Kwaku, our resident rapist of ESSR, if you haven't seen the Archer feature show, I implore you to check that out, or even just check out, I'll say or even, check out both, even the wee clips you put up on our Facebook and Twitter, our Kwaku rap, and it's absolutely fantastic stuff. Check it out. The boy deserves a record label unless he wants to go down the independent route and just release his rap on Spotify. Kwaku, do that. He's on 72.5 points. We've got Strack on 84 points at the 9th place. Derek, 8th place with 94.5 points. You find myself, 98 points in 7th place. Our early season leader, Ross McLeod, one that we have said in the past that we can't count him out. I'm counting him out right now. He's in 6th with 99 points, tied with Stephen on 99 points as well. He's had a bit of a fall from grace, hasn't he, David Ross?
Oh. Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, he always seems to start off well with the drafts, but as soon as we sort of come into the sort of last couple of weeks, he always seems to drop down the table. It's almost like he treats this as a sprint rather than a marathon, and it's maybe he's just got unlucky. But again, it's just one of those things, unfortunately.
Nice. It's a shame. I don't know.
I think Ross wasn't held with that. I mean, he had a strong start when Canis Lurie's team won at War Games, but like, he's had featured people but who aren't really getting wins, because Candice is appearing in segments with The Way but not wrestling. AJ has had a big loss, like he didn't win at TLC, and also like Cole O'Reilly's his tag team was fine for War Games but hasn't paid off, and then he was one of the only people in last night's Gauntlet that had somebody in the Gauntlet, but he had Baron Corbin who came in and then was eliminated by Shinsuke Nakamura, and then Aliyah Mysterio has suddenly done a disappearing act, so, and also Damian Priest lost on NXT, so yeah, I think it's one of those things that he's admitted himself that every now and then it's very possible for the last couple weeks for him to stumble at one of the last hurdles.
From this point here, where Steven is at 99 points alongside Ross, it's kind of, it turns into the four horse race for the title this season. Also, we've got Gary, fourth place, 121.5 points, but he does have Drew McIntyre as his captain. Going to the Royal Rumble, that could prove their identity at the end of the season. Same with Ryan Gallagher, who's in third place with 125 points with Roman Reigns as captain. But then I take great pleasure in saying this. Not bad to sign my two SDL boys in the top two positions. Golf clap, everyone. Well done. You deserve it. Scott, 128.5 points. David, 150.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't complain at that.
No, you cannot. Over 20 points ahead of Scott, but it's the gaps are definitely showing in the table. You know, you get me solely sitting at the top there, and then you've got Scott, Ryan, and Gary, who are sort of there and thereabouts the same position. So any of those guys could, you know, maintain second or jump to second. Like, bear in mind Ryan as well. Ryan's made quite a bit of a jump over the last few weeks, primarily down to Roman Reigns as his captain. And if he successfully defends against Adam Pearce, he could easily show up to second place. Among Ryan's team, though, I don't really see anybody who could win the respective Royal Rumbles, because the rest of his team is AEW, NXT. The only female representative he had that could show up in the Women's Royal Rumble is Dakota Kai, but I think she's sort of been put on the back burner a bit ahead of the likes of like Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez, and as aforementioned, you know, like Bayley and Bianca Belair.
Mm-hmm. I think getting the Big Easy Intercontinental Champion, they're now it's less likely that he'll win the Rumble, but I'm hoping he has a strong performance, even if he doesn't win in the Rumble, which could help closing the gap between me and David. But is it Gary and Ryan have always have a chance of closing it? Because like Ryan had a really big week with like New Year's Eve, he had like multiple successful title retentions from people on his team in the one night. And Gary, I think out of us, the top four has the one most likely to win a Rumble match, with Rhea Ripley, I think, is a heavy favourite to win a Royal Rumble, because like, she's maybe getting called up soon. And I think Charlotte will be Raw Women's Champion, and I've convinced myself of this, and it's going to be Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, and this is where Rhea gets the revenge from last year. And I think for your sake, Dave, in your season, you should probably hope that Charlotte win the title from Asuka comes some point next season and not this season.
I'll admit, I probably don't look like I've got somebody to win a Royal Rumble this year, but I'm okay with that, because Asuka, as long as she keeps defending, you know, the women's tag team championships, and if she gets regular appearances as Raw Women's Champion, I think I should be in pretty good standing either way. So it doesn't really matter if, you know, if somebody wins a Royal Rumble match with the captaincy on, but they're all the way down, like, say, sort of the lower half of the table, it doesn't really make much of a difference.
Yeah, and I'm also still holding out hope that Matt Riddle might win the US title by the end of the season, because there have been rumours of a thing between him and Bobby Lashley. I think given how high Vince is on Matt Riddle, then it's the highest chance he will win the title. And they'll have had a few weeks of them hold, like 3 or 4 holding the belt, so they'll also keep the tie belts on them, but then move the singles belt off of Lashley, and it still kind of keeps the Hurt Business strong. They've still got some like gold. Oh, I say, going back to down the table a wee bit to Derek's team, you know, I think it's not helped that last night the Street Profits lost the tag titles to Roode and Ziggler, something I don't think anybody really wanted to see. But I feel bad that we've kind of been slagging Io Shirai, because she is a strong pick. You know, she's NXT Women's Champion. It's just also she wasn't on the winning team at War Games, and at the moment she's not really doing much of note, I think, because at the moment they're building challenges for her, rather than having her do anything of note. I think part of that is because TakeOver isn't until February. So I don't think it'll be till end of this season, start of next season, where she'll start actually doing stuff of note on television.
Aye, that'll be good. I think maybe a play for next season, Neil Shirai, but unfortunately I think the roll of the dice failed for Derek. But yep. Dave.
Yeah.
It's time to break it down.
What, DX style?
Break down the listener league for us, because obviously the points did not stop for them either during this winter break.
No, they have not. And we'll start at the bottom of the table, unfortunately. Ryan Dalglish still there, but he does have the best score ever with 69 points in the socially distanced table. The big letdown for him this week was that he has the Street Profits as his team captains, and they just lost the tag team titles to Team Rudolph. So that's a bit of a bummer for him. And he's also got Sami Zayn, who was eliminated in quick fashion in the Gauntlet match. Quite a tough time for Ryan and his team. You know, Kaylee Ray's been pretty absent too. Moxley's only just appeared back. Damian Priest lost to Karrion Kross. It's not been good for Ryan. Up next, it's a bit of a jump. Tom Brock and the Raw Boys with 96 points. Kenny Omega getting that successful retention against Rey Fénix was a big booster for him, so he stays away from the bottom of the table. Next, we have Mark Hume. You done goofed with 102 points. Again, he also has the Street Profits as his team, so I imagine he took a bit of damage from Street Profits losing. But Hikaru Shida retaining the women's title against Abaddon, that was some points for him there. So he maintains fifth place in the table. Next, we have Gary Morris, Quizzy Rascals, on 114 points. Drew McIntyre obviously paying dividends for him with the two successful title defenses. Santos Escobar retaining the Cruiserweight title against Gran Metalik. So he's staying firm on fourth place, right in the middle of the table. Now, moving into our top three, Alan Laurie with no team name given on 124.5 points. He's been sort of like a steady, consistent performer throughout. But again, you know, it's the same story. Street Profits is his tag team. Big E, though, that's his big scorer this week with a title defense draw and a title defense win for Big E, plus Finn Balor retaining against Kyle O'Reilly. That's helped him maintain third place. But then it goes to a bit of a jump where only half a point separates the top two people in the listeners' league. Colin Blackburn on 161.5 points with his elite team, just half a point behind Robert Shaw and the Jesters on 162. So it's now firmly once again a two-horse race for the listeners' league with just a couple of weeks to go. So Colin's team, again, both these guys have Drew McIntyre as their team captain, so they've been helped out immensely going forward. But I think Robert Shaw edges it with Johnny Gargano and his team, and he successfully retained the North American title against Leon Ruff. So this one could definitely go either way, but as we said before, Rhea Ripley, also a name floating around to be a winner for the Royal Rumble match. I think Robert Shaw definitely has the momentum going into the Rumble, but you never know. Colin Blackburn could pull off a massive upset in some way or another.
You know, looking at this, there's a few things stand out to me. First off, like Tom Brock, I mean, 96 points isn't a bad score, but like looking at his team on paper, you thought he would be higher on the table than he is, like placement wise. But as I said, certain people have been kind of not appearing, and also the fact that, you know, we thought, you know, Omega, he kind of retained. And looking at the top two, yeah, I think they both benefit from a Drew retention of the Rumble. I think if, like Rhea Ripley appears, as I said, I hope that she will. Then I think that would help nudge Robert Shaw over the edge, because I think if like one of your picks has a certain amount of eliminations, you get points as well. So you know, if Rhea Ripley shows up, gets a couple of eliminations before going out herself, that could be enough to just edge Robert Shaw into victory of this listeners' league. And looking at Alan Laurie's team, yeah, his team in a couple of ways is similar to mine's in that he's got Sasha Banks as his captain. So I think of a Sasha rematch with Carmella at the Rumble, which, given that Carmella pinned Sasha last week, I believe, then I think that's likely. Obviously, you'll have benefited this week from a Big E title defense like I would have. I think also with Finn Balor as well. So I think he's open for a strong performance from Big E in the Royal Rumble like I am, and another successful defense from Sasha Banks, which I think would then help and maybe close the gap a bit further and make this more of a three-horse race at the top of the table.
Hi, it's an interesting time in the listeners' league. It's all heating up, but we'll. Aye, season 8's coming up in a few weeks. So I want to ask you both a question. Obviously, we all have our standout champions picks each. want to take, you know, your Askers, your Drews, your Romans. But what I want to know from you is who would be your standout pick that isn't a champion as of right now? Dave, I'll come to you first.
See, one name that really stood out to me just yesterday on SmackDown, and that's Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, he had an outstanding performance in the Gauntlet match to determine the Universal Champion contender. And you almost forget, like, Nakamura has accomplished so much in WWE, you just wouldn't notice it from the way he's been booked. He's a tag team champion, Intercontinental, United States, and a Royal Rumble winner. Like, the guy is an absolute megastar, and yet WWE's wasting him. But I think now they realized, wait a minute, we have Shinsuke Nakamura on our roster. I think it's now's the time to actually put him in a prominent position once again. So I think the way he was booked in this Gauntlet match, this goes to show that WWE is maybe considering, you know, maybe getting him on a singles push again, possibly even a face turn. So it wouldn't surprise me if that caught the attention of some of our draft performers and wondering, okay, maybe WWE is going to do something with him now.
I'll be interesting, obviously. We've seen recent that SmackDown loves a Gauntlet match. You know what I mean? That's how they seem to build their angles. We've seen that with Kofi Kingston, and are we going to see that with Shinsuke Nakamura? Obviously, it's quite hard to tell where Roman's going to end up WrestleMania. Obviously, you said in the chat the day, Dave, that Nakamura got shafted again, but I said I think him losing will be better long term, because it's better than a quick fix match against Reigns at the Rumble to then lose and then maybe go into obscurity again. This can give something to build on, so I definitely agree that he could be a good kind of third round pick, even third, fourth round pick potentially for next season of the draft.
I admit, maybe I was a bit hasty with my comments about him getting let down, but in hindsight, I think this is actually a lot better for him. So yeah, I admit I was a bit hasty on that.
Scott, who's your standout pick?
It's briefly comment on what Dave said about Nakamura. I think he had the strongest performance in the Gauntlet. I think a heel v heel match against Rowan would be a bit jarring for some people, and also it would kind of risk undoing some of the work that they would have done in the Gauntlet by having him win to then immediately lose to Rowan. But I can see where you're thinking of when you mentioned that. Looking at people who will be top picks, I think Orton is always the top pick, because like, whether or not they do the match with Edge at Mania, like we've been hearing the rumours about, he'll be a featured player in the lead up to WrestleMania. You know, if maybe it'll continue the thing with The Fiend for a while in the middle, and then he'll have probably a featured match at WrestleMania. Also, after last week's AEW, or this past week's AEW rather, I would say as a singles pick, maybe people should have their eye on Wardlow.
Oh.
I think Wardlow
just beating Jake Hager this week.
Mm-hmm. You know, with the whole thing with the Inner Circle, and he's, you know, he's always appearing alongside MJF, but I think after like matches with, like he had with Jake Hager, he will start to feature more singles matches going forward. So I think he will definitely be somebody to keep an eye on.
That could be a good shout, actually. That's one that didn't really come to my head. But I think the one for me, I think that our Women's Royal Rumble winner and David Campbell's Women's Royal Rumble winner, Bayley, I think it's hard to discount her. I think that me and David Campbell were discussing it a bit on conspiracy theory, who we think the champions will be at the end of 2021, and I said Bianca Belair. I think it's too soon for that to happen yet, and I don't know if what other women's title match they can have in SmackDown side of WrestleMania other than Sasha and Bayley. So I think Bayley could be a standout pick for next season. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, everyone.
No, I think it might be I think you might be onto something there. That is assuming they do go with the Sasha Bayley match at WrestleMania. But I wouldn't rule out Rhea Ripley either, given, you know, she, even though she lost to Raquel Gonzalez this week in the last Women's Standing, that implies that she's now moving to Raw or SmackDown, and I think she's going to be pushed to the moon when she goes there. So if it doesn't come to WrestleMania time, you know, if she doesn't get involved in some capacity, I think she's definitely going to be one to watch.
Yeah, because like also the rumours are getting called up the main roster soon, and I think given that those rumors, Damian Priest, even though he's not going to be debuting SmackDown, it's Kevin Owens' pal, as the original plan was, apparently he's going to be, when he does show up, he'll be part of Raw. So I think if he probably shows up maybe at the Rumble and then debuts officially afterwards, then if you can get him as a singles pick, I would pick him maybe as a third round pick or something like that. Because, you know, you'll have that first few weeks where he's actually being featured in winning matches, and you can rake in the points before he fucking disappears and appears on main event for the next few weeks or whatever they do with bloody the new call-ups. But something I wanted to mention earlier on is that, you know, I think is most hurt by the fact that Goldberg is challenging Drew at the Rumble? Sheamus. I feel bad for Sheamus. It felt like they were setting up, felt for weeks that they were setting up Drew versus Sheamus at the Royal Rumble. You know, Sheamus lost to Keith Lee, so Keith Lee got around the Charlotte Legend. And then I thought that was going to lead to then Sheamus coming out, oh, we're going to celebrate your win, and then Sheamus turns on him. That starts the build to the Rumble. You know, and Derek has Sheamus on his team. That's another fucking notch to bloody Derek, poor Derek's team, because, you know, Sheamus obviously wouldn't have won the title, but, you know, those first 3 or so weeks leading up to the Rumble, being a featured player on TV, being made look credible, would have done him some good. And I feel bad for poor Sheamus.
I don't know if we spoke about it as well on the conspiracy theory, this whole Drew and Sheamus thing. I said that much of the reports as to why Goldberg's been picked out for this Rumble match is that they don't really have anyone else to fill in that match, because I can only really see Sheamus in that WrestleMania role against Drew if they're doing that for the WWE title. Obviously, there's rumours that Drew might face Roman in some capacity. I don't know how they would make that work. But if they're doing a championship side, just on a story basis, I can only really see it going to Sheamus. So he could be, again, someone for next season that could do all right.
It's like, although they say, oh, we don't have anybody for Drew, like, you've been establishing that this guy who's a heel that no one else trusts is pals with the WWE champion. Like, turn them against them and have them fight each other, let them batter each other. Like, they used to, like, they keep mentioning the things that they used to do it back in the day and all that. It's like when they said, oh, they extended the thing with Kevin Owens, or they may have read Roman faced Goldberg because they don't have anyone on SmackDown for him. Or, like, no, it was where faced Daniel Bryan because they don't have anybody else on SmackDown for him. Like, we had Kevin Owens, extend the Kevin Owens thing. It's like, all through WWE said, oh, we don't have anybody when they've got one of the most overly stacked rosters that met. They don't know what to fucking do with. Sorry, I'm riling myself. I didn't realise how much this annoyed me. I blood's up.
On that annoyed, Scott, we will end Saturday Draft Live there. But before we go, if you follow our personal Twitter accounts and Facebook or Instagram and whatnot, you'll know that first time films and TV and YouTube and whatever, David Campbell's got that group of podcasts together, and they are having a charity gauntlet match, a Star Wars trivia contest, so to speak. We will all be competing in it tonight. Check out at 7 p.m. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on their Facebook. We'll no doubt be sharing it as well if you want to watch it anyway. There'll be a link as well for donating. It's going to help children first. It's going to a great cause. It'll help children across Scotland that are suffering during this lockdown time right now. So please do check it out. It'll be great. Thank you very much. But as I said, that is all the time we've got for Saturday Draft 5. Please check out our feature shows, our central, obviously, past episodes of Saturday Draft 5. East meets West, obviously. We just had Wrestle Kingdom, Scott, so I'm sure you and Grant will be getting an episode of that out soon for a review, won't you?
Yeah, we're hoping to record early next week. And I think for people talking about this gauntlet, if you're a long-time listener of this show, you've been watching since day one-ish, you'll remember, I think it was like the second ever episode of this show was just after David's first Star Wars gauntlet. It wasn't recorded. And we talked about how well I did. So I'm looking to repeat that performance and go all the way this time. I'm hoping to bloody win this thing. But after my wee rant just a second ago, I need to go away, drink my green tea, settle myself down before this gauntlet.
It'll be a good laugh. It's all for a good cause.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, but boys, thank you very much for joining us in the first episode of 2021.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to be back.
You said that in unison, I like it. And we will end there. Goodbye. We'll see you next week when we talk more about the draft.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.